Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. You're up early. What's going on?
I applied for this program that I didn't get into, but I felt disappointed, sad, like my age was being discriminated against. Like I was just really very vulnerable with her. So I think that for me was like my first breakthrough, because usually I just pretend, oh, it's okay. It's fine. I'm not upset about it, but like I actually was upset about it. Well, no, first of all, she told me that I'm worthy. I'm a badass, beautiful, hardworking musician with a voice that's like stunning, professional, polished, that like the training that we've been doing has been like supporting me vocally, my range and my ability to like not overwork myself in terms of like taking too many gigs or doing too many sets, and just like really acknowledging like the humanity of my voice, really committed that I could create boundaries for myself. And so she acknowledged me being successful and like worthy, but also for like really creating boundaries, and then also for being vulnerable with her and sharing. She asked me, what would being successful look like? Is it fame? Like, and I told her, you know, it's never been about me being famous, but it is about me singing for like hundreds of people. She shared with me that there are people that do kind of like tribute bands or like themed shows, and they're called like a cultural experience. And she works with a few people that do this. That really excites me, you know, like going out and playing at theaters. One of her students sang with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra in front of like 40,000 people. Like, and she's like, I think you've got the kind of voice that could sing with an orchestra. And I was like, yes, like I would love that, you know. It just became very clear to me after that conversation that that's what I want to do. In the meantime, of course, I still want to like release my own music, but I'm not that person that wants to like chase, you know, streaming numbers and keep chasing after the grants. And that doesn't bring me joy. And I keep dealing with my own expectation, and my own understanding is like, oh, you have to be a certain age and you have to make a certain kind of music. And there's just so many people that are like going after it, you know, trying to be like the artist with like the number one charting hit. She said a certain percentage of people she works with, they're the opposite of me. They don't love to sing, but they do love to make music. They love to songwrite. And their dream is making a hit single and selling it to like Adele or John Legend. So they don't want to be the ones performing. Whereas, and for me, it's like, I love singing. It's not about whether I'm singing a cover or original. I just love to sing. I want to do that on a bigger scale now. Like I want to do that in front of hundreds, thousands of people. First, I thought I couldn't do that with covers, but my coach was like, no, like people do really well. You know, they make like 1,000, 2,000, 4,000 a show. And I went in with a trio and we each made like, let's say 1,850, and we did like 15 shows. That's almost like 30 grand. I think it's important for me to allow myself to gravitate towards the things that bring me joy, not the struggle, not the feeling of like, oh, this feels like work. I don't want to do that. That was my dream as like a child of like when I was growing up. It was like Hilary Duff, Avril Lavigne, Kelly Clarkson.
That was the representation you saw.
Yeah.
It's not like a big representation for corporate musicians or cover artists or tribute bands. And even the representation that it gets in like an American Idol or X Factor or The Voice, the presentation is to use the covers to get to independence with your own music. But yeah, it doesn't have to be that way. We only need 51% to be in the majority, but most performing musicians who do it full time do it through cover music.
Yeah. The thing that my coach said to me, the artists that have been slugging it in the bars with their own original EPs, their CDs that they're selling, they're not making a lot of money. They all work like 2 or 3 day jobs and they're playing their originals. They're not doing what you're doing is definitely where the covers are. It's not with original art. Original artists have to build and build and build and build. And that's why this program exists, is to give people support who have had that experience. I have to say, like, it's felt like it's been a struggle for the past 2 or 3 years, because I miss the boat being like a songwriter and a recording artist.
Can we dive into that a little more? You mentioned ageism, aging out, and now you're saying it again. Explain a little bit of this to me, why you feel like age is tied to this.
It's just been my understanding of that's how the industry works. And when I look at competitions and grants, they cater towards younger artists. It's not just me that thinks this. Like once you hit the age of 30, like that's it. You've got over the hill. No one's going to touch you. So that's just the understanding that I have.
I would certainly disagree with that. Not that you're off base. I actually have this in my notes for you. Really, we're talking about a cover crew. as a performing musician, trying to generate income out of that and build infrastructure. That was like what I got out of our first three conversations. There are just certain indicators about your career and also your interests that lean itself away from radio, independent music, that being like your heart's desire. A lot of that comes around like the friction that exists around you even having your own recording equipment. For somebody who wants to like write music, they need to make sure that they have a playground to do that in, so they can write every day. So it's indicative of someone who's interested in that particular career path. It's just saying that it aligns with everything that you're saying. Age isn't really a factor. It can factor in, yes, but it's not as big of a factor as you think it is. A friend of mine, Jimmy Allen, his career didn't break until he was in his 30s when it really started to work. It can take time. This can even happen for cover musicians too, just so that we're not mistaken. Like I could very easily say, yeah, well, if you're singing in bars, the people that go to bars are between the ages of 21 to 30. That's not what you are. It's like what you look. If you look by the time you're 38, like you're 45, what 21 and 22-year-old really wants to be sung to by a 40-year-old? They may prefer someone singing that looks similar to them. If you choose to use the ageism ideology, you can use it, period. It's an ideology, so it applies, period. You are going to say like, oh, it necessarily doesn't matter, or the audience that I'm going to approach is different. Well, then that's where like the nuance comes in. Playing at a college bar is very different than playing at a theater, a retirement community. I think we spoke about this, singing in retirement homes. It's a good way to make money. People who are like 60 years old go into those homes and sing music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really about the audience and where you position yourself. If you choose to be in a tribute band, be very lucrative, you can have a beautiful career out of it. Which band are you tribute? Temptations tribute band, Zeppelin tribute band, a 90s, they're all poised towards different markets. So your age does matter in those scenarios. I'm saying all of that just to say that no one is ever going to hear your song and say to themselves, how old is that person? They don't turn the song on and say, this is Taylor Swift's new single. She's 30. I don't say that. It's a song. And you listen to it and you like it or you don't like it. It doesn't really matter how old the person is. It either resonates with you or it doesn't. Live performance, the medium itself, who are you performing to in this live area? We might want to get a little more specific. Do you want to do tributes or covers? Or do you want to do corporate events or traveling theater stuff? And do you want to be a singer? Or do you want to be a singer building something else on top of the singing or underneath of the singing? Are you trying to learn about the booking side of things? If you happen to not want to sing as much, or if you just want to do the same thing, but also create additional income, is it booking, client relations? Honestly, there's so much, but it totally helps to know that you're really thinking about cover music. Made me think of a friend of mine, Jeff Trommel. Jeff was in a cover band in college. He was at Penn State University, and he built a band called Go Go Gadget. It's a pretty big cover band. He went from just like being a performer in that band and running it to going with an agent and learning a lot from the agent and then building his own agency. It's called Three Hive Entertainment. He has his own like warehouse studio where they shoot videos and do photo shoots. They also have a rehearsal space. He has a tribute band. He has another tribute band that's Go-Go Retro, which only does covers from the 90s. Essentially, he's got like multiple bands out, plus his space and everything, all in that area. And they do corporate events. There's a company called Invent, I-N-V-N-T. Essentially, all they do is book corporate events. So like I worked with their company doing a show in Las Vegas. And they literally fly you out, pay for all your meals, pay you very generously. I sang for maybe 10 minutes. It's a beautiful situation. On the same stage where Michael McDonald was singing, where Michael Phelps was speaking. So there was an event at the Las Vegas Convention Center called Shroom, S-H-R-M. There were 14,000 people there. It's nuts. I'm only explaining this so you know, like, just the wealth of possibilities that are out here. A company like Walmart or Target, Capital One, they have corporate events annually or biannually, and all these companies do it, where they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to showcase to the people that work for them. Oftentimes, there's entertainment there. and they pay mm-hmm. for that entertainment. You can sing covers there, to have recorded music that gets played in the background of some video that they have going on. There's yeah. so much out here, and I'm glad that you're open-minded towards all of the possibilities that just include you doing what you love, which is like, I just want to sing. That's what you want to do. You want to sing.
Yeah.
You were pretty much mathing it out. What is your target goal for income from music?
If I could be making 8 to 10K a month, I'd be sitting pretty for life. I mean, I could make more, but I wouldn't need more.
A, that is very good. Now we have a target range. It's not that you would be good for life. You would be good for the time that you could sustain yeah. that particular income. Think about how long can I keep singing? How long can I be in my high earning years? Even if you're Lady Gaga, yeah. go on tour right now. She's not making as much money as she was making in 2012. 10K a month off how many performances?
I'd like to work 15 days a month.
So you need to make like $750 per performance. What's the time frame that you would like to get to that space in?
Ideally, I'd love to start rehearsing the show like now and launch it in the new year.
6 months.
Yeah. I've already got players and I have material. It's just really about rehearsing it, getting footage. This is the show, it's how much it costs, and going after the people that want to have the show. It would be more of a theme and less of a tribute band. Do you like Adele, Miley Cyrus, Aretha Franklin, strong female vocalists of the decades? Featuring memorable music of Angie Faith, because not everyone's doing that. Not everyone can actually sing at that level and sing well.
What is the band doing this, which you want to do right now, that's making 8 to 10K a month? Who are they?
I don't know.
We want to find out who are these bands. They're going to be able to streamline the process for you, but also set it into a realistic context. Then you can find out, okay, how long did it take you to do this? This to me feels like a 3-year process. All of the larger types of shows, even the agencies who already have their relationships with certain people, they probably book out close to a year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So even access to some of the shows that pay like this, the openings for that access won't happen until next year. This to me feels like it's 3 years. 6 months though is a good target, because it means, okay, let me bust my ass for 6 months and see where I'm at, and then extrapolate from out of there. Finding the bands will also help go to some of the shows, look the shows up, and see what do they have that gives them the ability to charge what they charge.
Yeah.
Light shows, is the performance choreographed? Is it full songs and transitions between songs? Or is it like done almost like a DJ set, medleys of songs that are put together? I think all of that will be very indicative of how that market space operates and what is successful inside of that market space.
I could also join a corporate band, but the idea for me is that I'm the one that's opening up the doors. I'm in control of my career and I'm the one that's building the show around me and my voice. That in itself is like two different paths: the build my own show or join a band, a corporate right. band. Maybe I join a band. It covers corporate band for like a year or 2 years. I learn the ins and outs and then I decide if I want to go put on my own shows, but maybe that's the job to go after. Go and audition. I'm a great vocalist and go do the show with the already existing bands to learn the ropes of what it is. I show up and I get to sing and I don't have to do all the booking, and maybe that's what there is for me to do.
There's research to be done. Figure out who are the agencies around you. Are they auditioning? Even if it's just in the beginning, filling in, or got to find a way in. Casinos, places that have built-in budgets.
I totally recognize that the bar scene, it has a certain threshold for budget. I've maxed it at like, you know, 200 to 300 to maybe 400. I've been able to do it because I do it solo. So I make 100% of my income. So if I'm going to bring a band into the picture, then it has to be on a corporate scale, because there's no money in the restaurant and bar scene. That's at least what I've discovered in Vancouver.
Region matters. That's kind of what I was asking. If where are you located? It's like, how many A rooms are there? So if you think of like A rooms, B rooms, C rooms, like mm-hmm. 500 people plus is like an A room. A B room might be like 250 to 400-ish. You know, and then a C room might be 75 to 150 people. space that's 75 to 150 people, that's certainly more of a solo act, acoustic duo. But your A rooms are certainly more band spaces.
Yeah.
So how many A rooms are in your region? What is your monthly dash yearly income? How many shows do you think you normally do per month? Do you have this like in a spreadsheet or anything like that somewhere?
No.
It will help me, but it's definitely going to help you. We have to create a spreadsheet. What I would do is set up my income. I knew all of my bookings that were going to happen each month and how much money I would make from each performance. I also charted out my expenses. How much was I spending in travel, marketing, and promotion, how many other band members, all that kind of stuff. If this was the amount of money that I would bring in, what's my actual income? And then I would have projections based off of this. Let me project what I need to make $30,000 off of live performances a year. This is important. What is my income going to be? How do I pace this in order to keep going? So in the off months, how do I make the most money possible in peak season? And what you can build sustainability in the off peak months is to build residencies, give someone a guaranteed lower price in the summer, because you already know those are your money making months. So you build in a situation that's like, I would charge you $400, but instead in the summer, I'll charge you $250. For a guarantee that after the summer is over, I have a weekly performance here for $150 for the next 3 or 4 months. You're deferring some of the income, but also you have to do more work, but it adds up to more money than you would have made had you been paid full price just coming in like the 2 or 3 times in the summer.
That makes sense.
This is why I'm like, it's important too to have all this and have the expenses, because that year was $44,700. $11,700 was expenses. How do I get to 30,000? 45,000 is actually how I get to 30,000. And having all of these numbers together will really help us understand how the mapping should work. An area that can get gray for musicians attempting to do this full time, my rate is $400. It's like, no, your rate at that place is $400. This other place doesn't have a $400 budget. And then it's like kind of mapping out how many shows of this magnitude, and this magnitude, let's call it ABC, exist in the market. If totally over the course of a month, it's mapping out, okay, there are 40 performances available. What is the combination that gets me closest to what I'm desire? How many $400 shows do I need? $150 shows? Again, seeing all the numbers kind of like in front of you and in a spreadsheet and with a timeline and date will help you really conceptualize what's actually possible for you. What's flexible is how frequently you want to work. You can always say, yeah, I want to work 15 days, but let me get to 15 days in 2 years. The next 6 months or a year has to actually be 22 days. These performances and these places, I want to move each of them up $50. If I move 15 performances up, $50, now I can take away this many dates and still be at the same number. You can choose to take away dates and still be at the same number, or you can choose to keep 22 dates and just have it as additional income.
So smart. And I think it's so brilliant because it feels like we're transitioning into like stage two. I just needed to really discover and like distinguish for myself, like, what is it that I want to do? As much as I enjoy singing at these bars and venues because they've given me opportunities to really connect deeply with people because they're smaller, more intimate shows, I feel like I am growing. And I love what you said about how there's like ABC rooms. It's like, I can still play those shows, but I can also go play like the A-list rooms. I truly believe I'm at that level now. I truly believe I'm good enough. There's always been this fear of like keeping track of the money and then being responsible for it as a musician. No, I'm doing this like real time and I'm very committed. I'm passionate. This is a career. This is not a hobby for me. And so it makes sense that I just really need to keep track of what I'm making and map it out, like you said. And your mentorship and us working together has really provided me with the opportunity to like have a partner in doing this. These are just skills that of course I can learn, but like it helps to have someone be like, hey, like let's do this together. You're not like super, you know, confident with spreadsheets. No problem. Look here, I did it. You can do it too. Let's do it together. Like that kind of energy and support, I think, is really valuable as well. So thank you.
No, you're more than welcome. I mean, I understand. You know, I still don't know anything about spreadsheets. I just use them because the type of organization, you know, none of that stuff matters. You just need to be able to keep track of stuff. You know, you got to know how much money you're making. How much money do I spend every month? It's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you spend. I keep my expenses super low. Yeah. And that's a choice.
This is actually one of the things that I kind of feel already there's like an immediate constraint about. It's like, could I still do A rooms and do solo shows, or would it diminish that?
No, you probably have to, especially in the beginning. It's not a light switch. So you build to it. You're going to need lower shows because, hey, your band's not always going to be available. That's where having the spreadsheets lets you know, how many shots do I even have to put up to do those shows? So I might have 150 dates, but only 30 dates could be a band. And how many of those 30 dates are in the busy season? Are there 30 other venues? How many of them can be reoccurring venues? There's still money to make up here. What's available for solo shows? I know that solo shows, I'm not going to be able to play A rooms in the solo arena. So then there's a designated space for C rooms. That's why having it in front of you can like mean a world of difference. Seeing how that works, how it feels, and then adjusting based on the things that are important to you at that particular moment in time. Do I want to do more shows that are bigger? Do I actually want to do more solo shows? Some of it's just like not even realistic because you just may not have a band for all of those things. In our next scheduled call, we'll start to map out some of this stuff. Let's take the last 6 months and figure out how much money you've made up till now. How many shows have you done? Where were they? How much did you get paid? Were they solo? Were they, you know, like, let's just really get a scope of that to figure out where we are.
Are we also going to do expenses?
You may not have been keeping track of your expenses.
The only clear expense that I can track is the cars that I take because I don't drive.
It's a type of expense, right? What I showed you was very general. You know, I have a budget to say, how much can I spend on miscellaneous things? My car, my rent, bills, eating out on food, clothes, all of that mapped out in advance. We'll take it so that we understand what our spending habits are and how much we want to allot to each one. Then we can make a budget so that way you know, I want to go and eat out tonight. Let me check my budget and make sure that if I've budgeted $150 for going out this month, can I go out and eat tonight? Or damn, it's only like the second week in July and I'm already 80% through my budget. Business expenses, yes. And I imagine that some of that gets conflated for you because performing money seems to be your only revenue source.
Yeah, that's it.
Those are the structures that we're working inside of. We will learn how we spend. We'll learn how much money we've made, and how we made it, and when we made it. And that will allow us to build projections and create a budget that will allow us to be in control of our finances.
I love that. I think that's really important for me.